Hi, good morning, everyone. It's awesome when God does some things for you rather than you having to do things. And I'd like to thank our worship leader this morning for a wonderful call to worship. Because, as you know, it's Palm Sunday. And this is a very strange passage to read in Proverbs chapter 4 for Palm Sunday. And in fact, one of the things that I wanted to do was read the passage from Matthew chapter 21 as part of the sermon this morning. No, I don't have to. Now I have more time to talk about how great God is. So that's always exciting. Now, as you know, because it's Palm Sunday and then next week is Easter Sunday, this is the time of year, the season for the church and for all of the Christians to really reflect upon all of the things that God has done for us and who He is and who Christ is. This is the time of the year when all of the other busyness that takes place needs to pale in comparison to what we have as our foundation. All of the things that we do in church, everything, all of the reasons why we read our Bible or we go to Sunday school or we get baptized is hinged on what we celebrate next week, and that is that Jesus Christ not only came to this earth, but died on the cross for our sins and was risen from the dead. The tomb is empty. And because of that, we can be washed clean of all of our sin and have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That is the heart of the gospel. And so as we look into God's word this morning, we're going to try and link Palm Sunday and the heart of the gospel with also guarding our heart. And so we're going to try and put all those together, and I don't know if I'll be able to do it. But thank you for the extra minute that I have to share God's word with you together. Let's pray, and we'll ask that the Lord would speak to each one of us. Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence this morning, we come humbly before you, knowing who you are. You are the great God who created all things and who loves us deeply. So much that you would willingly give your son to die on the cross for us. And so God, we thank you so much for all that you've already given to us. And as we come to your word this morning, Lord, we want to ask that you would once again, please just give to us. Show us in your word more of who you are. Show us, God, in your word what you want us to do and what you want us to think and feel and know about you and know about this world around us. God, we pray that you would speak to each one of us. Help us not just to hear from you, but to also obey. And so, Lord, we come before you together this morning with expectation, knowing that you are a God who speaks to us and that you will do so this morning as we come in humility before you. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen. It's interesting. Pastor Mann has just come back from 2 weeks off. Today is the last day of my two-week vacation. My school gets 2 weeks off for March break. And so I'm really excited to be here, but I'm also really a little bit sad because I also know that this means this is the last day of my vacation. Not that I don't like my job, but, you know, vacation or work, I don't know. Well, it is always exciting to be in the house of the Lord, so at least I get to end my holidays, in with God's people and looking into his word together. So we're going to start by looking at this small little passage. If I can find the right page that I'm preaching about here. Maybe we'll have to wing the sermon. Oh, there we are. Okay. All right. So we looked in Proverbs chapter 4, but I did mention that I wanted to look at specifically Matthew chapter 21. So if you have your Bibles, can you flip to that right now? Okay, now we already had it read to us. Thank you. And I'd like to point out some interesting people in that particular passage. And in fact, the first person that I want to point out to you isn't even really there. You see, it says, where is it here? Oh, here it is. In verse 5, or verse 4 and verse 5, it says, "This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And, you know, that was written back in the Old Testament, and this was a prophecy that was to be fulfilled. And so God had actually spoken to the prophet, Zechariah, and had told him what would take place. And I wanted you to notice that. And if you've forgotten what was at the beginning of the passage there, it was Jesus telling his disciples, go into the city ahead of us, and there'll be a donkey there, and bring it back to me. And if anyone asks you, just say, the Lord needs it, and everything will be fine. And so that had actually taken place. And now Matthew is quoting from the prophet. And I wanted us to notice that the prophet, even though it was many years before, knew that God had spoken to him. You see, in the Old Testament times, if a prophet gave a prophecy and it didn't come to pass, they would be put to death. So they had to be very clear that they would hear what God was saying. Now, in this case, it was a prophecy that would take place afterwards. But if they were to give a prophecy like, next week, we better prepare because there's going to be a big earthquake and everyone be ready, and then the earthquake didn't come, then people would say, you didn't hear from God, you're a false prophet, and they would get rid of them. And so the prophets would make sure that they heard from God. They were very careful with what they said. And so this prophet foretold something and gave this prophecy, and it comes true. It comes true. It's fulfilled. And so we know that the prophet had heard from God, because the prophets were always very careful, because they didn't want to misquote God for fear of man, or fear of God too. The next person that I want you to notice in this little particular story is the donkey owner. See, the first person wasn't really in the story. This person was in the story, but we don't really get to see much about them. And if you can think back to when we didn't have cars and when we would go around on donkeys, well, maybe none of us were around back then, but you can imagine the scene. Honey, why are you leaving our donkey out at the front porch? Well, hon, I just have this feeling that God wants me to leave our donkey outside. Okay, someone's going to take it, you know. I've told you 1,000 times, put the donkey in the back. But if that's... okay. And then along come a couple of guys, and they start unlatching, and the wife says, "See, I told you, look, now there's two guys out there." And so he goes out. "Oh, what are you doing?" "The Lord needs it." "Oh, okay." You see, with that man, I'm assuming it was the man, because usually the men are the ones that leave the car unlocked, or the front door. I always leave the front door unlocked. My wife gets mad at me. He had to have heard from God. See, the prophet heard from God what had happened, or what would happen, I mean. And then this man hears from God, or has this urging, like, okay, I'm not going to put the donkey around the back today or put it in the barn. I'm going to leave it right out front and just tie it with a slip knot so it'll be easy to take. not me. Why would someone do that unless they knew they had heard from God? The difference between this guy and the prophet was this man or family had not only heard from God, but acted on it. They actually heard God's plan and followed along. God had told them, obviously, because the Lord needs it. That wouldn't cover it for me. If someone, usually I have my car keys in my, I don't have them this morning. I often don't leave my car keys in my coat because right now, not to make anyone worried, but someone could be out there, right, rummaging through all of our coat pockets. I'm sure it's not happening. Please don't be thinking about that. God, please protect our coats now. There we go. We're all set. But, I mean, it's possible someone could be out there, right? Hey, car keys. All they have to do is hit the that button, right, to find your car when you're in the parking lot. Beep, 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 beep. Which one's beeping? Okay, I got a free car. Okay, so, you know, I don't leave my car keys often out in the foyer. I did by error this morning. But they wouldn't leave their donkey out in the front unless God had specifically told them to. They did it on purpose because just a, oh, the Lord needs it, wouldn't be enough. Okay, if someone comes to take my car, oh, sorry, I just need your car. Sorry, I'll drive you somewhere, but you're not taking my car unless God told me. Okay, the third person or persons in this story, and we're going somewhere with this, don't worry, in case you're getting a little lost. The disciples. Okay, in this case, the disciples heard directly from Jesus, God's own son and God himself, right? Jesus said, go ahead into the city and take the donkey and bring it back to me. And if anyone asks you, this is exactly what you're to say. And so these guys, they heard exactly what God wanted. But in this case, they maybe didn't know Jesus' plan. They go and they follow through on God's plan. And see, these are the things that we need to do. We need to know that we've heard from God, just like the prophet heard from God and was very careful that he had heard what God wanted him to hear. And then the donkey owners not just heard, but they followed through on his plan. And because they knew that God needed this donkey. And so maybe God had told them years before, and so they had prepared this donkey for this particular moment. We don't know if it happened then or that morning or what. But we knew that they had heard, and then they acted on his plan. They knew God's plan. And in this case, the disciples heard God's voice, but they maybe didn't know God's plan, but they followed anyways. And so these are three things that we need to do too. If we, hopefully at this time of the year especially, we're listening for God's voice. We want to know, what does he want us to do? We're listening because this is the season, the greatest season of the Christian church, to remember and reflect upon all that Christ did on the cross for us. And so we want to be hearing and listening to the Lord. And then when we do hear from God, we want to act on it and follow through. And whether we know God's plan or not, we need to follow his plan anyways. The fourth person in the story, of course, is Jesus himself. You see, Jesus knew God's plan and followed it through to the completion. He knew that he had to go in riding on a donkey, and he knew what was coming ahead even after that in the days and weeks to follow. He knew that he was going in to Jerusalem riding as a king and would be soon killed. This is the time of the year, really, for us to step out in faith now. It's time to renew our commitment to the Lord or to God. Listen for his direction in our lives and then make decisions to follow him. So here's where I'm going with this. All of these people are hearing from God. And they're all acting in various different ways. One is foretelling something and speaking what they've heard. The other is knowing God's plan and following it. The other are hearing what God wants and stepping out in faith, maybe not knowing what God wants, but just following through. And here's, I hope it's a hard question. It's a hard question for me, because as I was preparing this, God was speaking to me about this too. When's the last time that you heard clearly from God? When's the last time that you heard clearly from God and knew the next steps or step to take? See, I say clearly heard from God because that's what the prophet did. He had to be very sure that what he heard was right and what was true. Sometimes we hear from God and we have to be very careful because we mix what we hear with maybe sometimes with what we know or what we think we know. And we blend the two together. And let me give you an example. If you're looking for a job and you're applying for a job in a bank, for instance, and you knock on the door and say, hi, can I have an application? Or you go online or whatever, and you apply to the first bank, maybe TD, and they just kind of, you know, a week later you get a rejection letter in the mail or something. Or maybe they'll just tell you up front, sir, we're not looking for someone like you. Okay, and then you go to the next bank, you know, BMO or something, and the same thing happens. And then you go to Scotia Bank and Bank of Hong Kong, and I'm running out of names of banks. And there's only one left, and you're thinking, you know, I've been rejected 15 times. You know, okay, I've heard wrong. Because God's closing the doors. And God can speak to us by closing doors. I know that. Done that. Hate that. But I know that. God sometimes closes doors as a way to guide you in the right way. And so sometimes what we'll do is, wow, I've applied in so many places. God must not want me to work in a bank. Even though you were taking all those banking courses because you were sure God wanted you to be a banker. But maybe. And see, that's the problem, right? We give up and we go, okay, well then fine, I'll go into selling insurance because at least it's finance related and that was what my education was, and you know, and so you kind of, well, this is too hard, so I'll go this way, there, it's easier now, okay, and you get a job quickly maybe in that area. That may not be where God wants you to be, because remember back here, if you heard God wants you to be a banker and now you're selling insurance, nothing wrong with either profession. But there is something wrong with this one if God wants you to be the other. And see, we blend the two. If it's too hard, when God might just be saying, nope, not that bank, nope, not that bank, nope, not. If you would just listen, I would tell you it's this bank over here, and it was the 16th one, and you've only been to 15. Because I want you in that one, because there's a guy in there who's going to be your coworker, and he needs to meet me, and you're going to represent me there. Wow. That's why you got to hear clearly from God. That's why we need to hear clearly from God. Okay, now here's the blending into guarding our hearts. I hope. Sometimes I don't blend too well. Just blurt it out. It's easier that way sometimes. But we need to hear clearly from God. And you know, if you leave this place with nothing more than this, when is the last time that you heard clearly from God and acted upon what he said? That's, I think, what God really wants us to know. He wants to challenge us in that area. The other part, though, is about guarding our hearts. You see, sometimes God may ask us to do things that are different, maybe than other people would imagine. Do you remember in the Old Testament a guy by the name of Noah building a boat, a huge boat, not just a little boat, but a huge boat. And not just a huge boat, but a huge boat in a dry area. I mean, how crazy is that? Okay, if I was there, I probably would have laughed at him too. Well, hopefully I would have been the one God spoke to, because, but he heard from God and he acted on it. regardless of how crazy it may have seemed, and no matter how much other people attacked him. You see, he needed to guard his heart. Because if he just gave in to all the pressure of, what a loser, what are you doing, you're crazy. Maybe even his own kids, well, although his kids were helping build it, but, you know, back in the back of their mind, you know, your dad's crazy. Lots of examples like that in the Bible, where God calls people to do things, and it seems strange. But the Bible also says that we need to guard our heart, and that's the word heart really in the Bible can represent all sorts of different things. It can mean the mind, what we think of as the mind, what we think about. It can represent the emotions of a person, or the will, or the inner man, who we really are. The heart can mean all sorts of things, but listen to the verse that we read this morning. Starting in Proverbs 4:20. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. The heart is so important. The heart of who we are. It's the wellspring of life, it says here. The wellspring of life. You see, and if we're to guard our heart, we need to do so diligently. It's just like when I was in Florida. That's where I went on my vacation. I know I don't look tanned. I'm still Guadalo. But I'm... in case you don't speak Cantonese, because some people may not. I think I said it right, Guadalo. It means like... Oh, yeah, I did, obviously. Okay. It means like white ghosts, or, you know, that's what you call the Caucasians, right? Okay, I know. So I still look kind of white, but I'm actually quite colorful now compared to normal. And you know what? What we did when we went out to the pool was we guarded our skin. My kids are even paler than me. And, you know, we put 60 on their, not just their face, but their whole bodies. And for me, I just put it on my face, and I thought that would be enough. My body was actually red at one point. Not super red, but red enough that I was more careful the next time. I was guarding my skin. You know, and when we went through customs, they were guarding what you bring onto the plane. I mean, there's all these things. You're protecting and guarding, and because bad things can happen, right? And the same thing is, the scripture says to guard our heart. Well, if you're going to guard something, it's to prevent something maybe catastrophic from happening. Sorry, tongue freeze. I'm on vacation, though. So it's important that we know how to guard our heart, because something awful could happen. That's an easier word. Something awful could happen. So listen to the importance of the heart in Scripture. Do you remember the guy called Samuel? I'm just looking at the time. Maybe I'll just refer to it. I think you'll know it. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, when Samuel was going to pick the next king, and Samuel was looking at the different sons as they paraded past, and, oh, this guy, look at him, he's awesome. Oh, this is going to be the king. And God said, nope, not him. And he went through all the sons, and don't you have any more? And one guy, you know, David, he's just watching the sheep, you know, the pipsqueak of them all. And that was the one God see. Why? Because God didn't consider the outside, but he considered the inside, or the heart. He considered the heart. It says in that passage, but the Lord looks at the heart in 1 Samuel 16. Also, the heart is what is, how do you say this? What comes out in our lives. I found a saying online as I was researching about heart. And this is the quote. What we do is a product of the heart. What we do is a product of the heart. And what we say is evidence of what lies within the heart. What you say is evidence of what lies within your heart. Think of the heart as the womb where all of our actions, attitudes, and words are conceived. I thought that was kind of cool. My wife recently, since we've come back, we got back on Thursday night at, oh, I guess it was Friday morning at 1 in the morning. And since then, we've run into a lot of people that we know, and we talk to people, obviously, and, you know, people are like, oh, you're on holidays, oh, and then I keep saying, yeah, I'm so sad, because my holiday, what I'm thinking is, because my holiday's ending, and now I have to get back to, you know, the boring old job, I hate that, you know, and my wife's like, why do you keep saying that, like, you should be, like, you have a job, first of all, but also, like, it sounds like you hate those kids that you're teaching, and I'm like, oh, that's not what I mean, I'm just, you know, everyone says that at the end of your vacation, oh, I gotta go back, you know, some of us every Sunday night, oh, I gotta go to work tomorrow, or go to school tomorrow, you know, and that, and it shows the attitude of our heart, and I'm like, oh, that's not what I really want to kind of portray. But and so it's really important that, you know, that our heart is right. And look in this passage, as we read earlier. Sorry, I need my glasses. Oosh, end of the holidays. I really need them. Okay, so as it talks about our heart, it says in verse 24, above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. And let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet. So there's three things here that God talks about in Proverbs, which really Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And so if we're trying to guard our heart, these are the three areas that is immediately talked about. It talks about our mouth. We have to be careful with what comes out of our mouth because it's going to reveal what's in our heart. The second thing is you need to make sure that your eyes look straight ahead. Because just like Peter, when he was walking on the water, remember what happened to him when he was on the water and the waves were all around, crashing around him. And when his eyes were on Jesus, everything was great. He was walking on water, and I don't know many people that do that. He's walking on water, and then he notices all the things, and his eyes aren't focused straight ahead, and he's looking at all the other things. And that's when he starts to sink and he has to cry out to Jesus, save me. And what did Jesus do? He corrected him later and he rebukes him and he says, why did you doubt? You know, as he pulls him out, imagine how stupid he felt. He took his eyes off Jesus. And that's really what this is saying. You know, if you want to guard your heart, make sure your eyes are in the right place. Don't be looking at pornography. Don't be watching stupid TV shows. Don't be looking at the magazines that are filled with garbage, all the tabloids and stuff. Be discerning with what you let in, because your eyes, this is what, I mean, I'm an educator, right? And so I've heard that we learn 80% through what we see and only 11% with what we hear. So I try and make things more visual in the classroom. It's the same thing in our, what we look at, what we take in with our eyes. We have to be careful. We've got to guard our heart. What was the third one there? Guard your eyes and then your feet. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Keep your foot from evil. I remember one time when I was invited. I'm not sure if I shared this story here before or not, but I was invited to a stag party for one of my buddies that I worked with I did work at a bank one time, and we were going to a stag party, and I thought, oh, that's great, I love Stuart, yeah, of course I'll be there. I found out they were going to a strip joint, not like a strip plaza, but like a place where women are, woo, okay, not that I know anything about that. Well, I had to decide, you know, am I going to let my feet, you know, because he was my buddy. do I go? Support my buddy? You know, this is your last fling, your last hurrah? No. I say, you know what? I'm not, I love you, Stuart, but I don't think that's the proper place for me to show you that I support you, because that's not really good. You know, you gotta watch your feet. Make sure they're leading you into the right places. Okay, so guarding your heart. So we need to guard our heart, and those are three quick ways to guard your heart. But another thing is, and I'll end. I got lots of time. Okay, good. So Jesus is telling us about the heart, and he's really concerned about us guarding our heart. One of the things that I like in the Old Testament is it's filled with psalms, and psalms are just wonderful things because they give us a glimpse into the heart of the writer and the heart of God sometimes. And when you look at the writer and you know what they've gone through or something, you can, wow, I can relate to that because he's been through that too. And so in Psalm chapter 51, David sings a song, and it's, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew within me a right spirit, and a clean heart. And that's one of the things that we need to do. If we're going to be guarding our heart, we need to make sure, first of all, even that it's clean. That's why Easter is so important, because when Jesus died on the cross, he died for our sins. Not just to die on the cross to prove that he wouldn't remain dead and that the tomb is empty. He died on the cross for our sins. When he was hanging there on the cross, the only reason he stayed on the cross was because of your sin. That was something that just before I first became a Christian, that was something that was new and revelational to me. I had known that Jesus died for the whole world, and I knew all that, but I didn't realize, oh, I'm part of the world. And so Jesus died for me, for my sin. And so when we understand that, then we can ask God, or even know that God has actually forgiven us, and that we can go to God with a clean heart. And we need to make sure that we are careful with what we then allow into our heart. There's another very famous passage, and I probably won't be able to find it now. Philippians, right after Ephesians. There we go. Philippians chapter 4, and you probably have all heard these verses. In Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts. So we don't have to do it all on our own. But the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then I like the next verses afterwards, because they just remind me of what I need to be focusing on. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, we need to be cautious with the contents of our heart, because whatever we focus our eyes on will probably become a desire. When we were down in Florida, one of the things that we do is, anyone else been down to Florida? It's not just all about the theme parks, right? It's about the shopping. Yeah. Okay, it was mostly about shopping for us, because I needed new shoes. These are my new shoes, by the way. I hope you like them. I had holes in my shoe. I had a hole in my shoe for over a year. The reason is last winter I was supposed to go down to Florida, but my wife, because of her health, we couldn't go. And so I went a whole year in anticipation of buying new shoes down in Florida. Yay, I got them. So I was happy. But when we were shopping, one of the things that my kids did is when we went into these like Bell's outlets and all these places, you know, my kids wouldn't, they would go immediately to the toy section. There's always this toy section. And what they would do is they'd look at everything and they'd find one thing that was awesome. And they'd take it off the shelf, or I don't know, somehow they'd get it off. Some of them were up high. They'd find how to get them. And they'd bring them over and they'd say, "Dad, I want this." And I'd look at it and I'd be like, "You don't need that." My kids are smart though. "But it's only $6." You still don't need it. It's still $6 more than what you really need to spend. They would go back and they would look around at everything else. But you know what? They would still gravitate towards the one thing. And they'd come back. "Can I have this?" And then they'd go to mom, right? Because mom might give in more. Mom's more strict than me. No way with her. And then they'd go to grandpa. "Oh, we shouldn't have gone shopping with grandpa." Because then they'd get things. And then, unfortunately, what would happen was then after they get used to this, you know, they see, they want, they desire, they lust for, they get. Then the next store that we go into, guess what? "Daddy, I want this. It's only $24.99. It's on sale. It's $1 off." You know, and we're like, you know, and it's what they see, they desire, and they're young and they don't know how to guard their hearts. And one of the things I was trying to teach my daughter actually just yesterday, because the Target store opened, so we thought, oh, we should go and see it. She saw this big doll. It's $24.99. It's not on sale either. And she saw it. She had to have it. And so this is what I was trying to teach her. "Well, honey, when we were down in Florida, we got you this dog. And that dog became your best friend. And you loved it. And you slept with it. And you hug it. And you take very good care of it. But before that, you got a Rapunzel doll. And you had her for about 3 weeks. And you loved her. And you held her. And you slept with her. And you hugged her and cherished her. And now she sits down in the basement collecting dust while you're holding onto this doggy. And what's going to happen is if we buy this $24.99 doll, that doggy's just going to go in the pile. And then that doll's going to, you're going to love it and hold it and hug it. And it's just going to go," trying to teach her, right? That didn't wash. But I'm trying to teach her, like, don't focus your eyes on the right thing. Maybe that won't work so hard. I mean, look at God, look at the doll. But what's the doll in your life? Maybe you're not, you don't want a Hallie doll. Maybe you want something else. But if you're going to guard your heart, you got to make sure that your eyes are on the right thing, that you're focused on what God wants. And one of the ways that we do that is we make sure that we're hearing from God. And then when we do hear from God, we follow through and we obey. Now, do you see how they all link together? I don't know. It's clear in my mind. Hopefully it's clear in your ears. We have to hear from God. We need to follow through with God. We need to keep our eyes focused on God, and we need to guard our heart. Don't let anything else get in there that will not be leading us and guiding us and keeping us focused on God and on Christ. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this wonderful time of year too, season of Easter, where we remember who you are and all that you've done for us. Please guide us each and every day, and also guard our hearts so that we are protected from the enemy, and also so that our lives will be pleasing and honoring to you. And we want to commit the rest of our service back into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.